We thank you, God. God, we just worship you. God, we thank you that it's not always up to us to keep up our end of the bargain, because you always keep up your end of the bargain. You always keep up your end of the covenant, even when we're running off somewhere doing something else that is so far from you. God, but when we turn back to you, when we turn back to you, God, with a repentant heart, when we come back to you, God, with a longing fulfilled, Lord, you're always there for us. You always respond to a repentant heart. God, you are worthy to be praised, God. In our natural minds, it's difficult for us to even think and to be able to act like that, to be able to love like that, to be able to just embrace something that has hurt us so much or has turned away from us. Or when things happen in our life that we don't understand, or God, you're always there for us. You're always there. And God, you're worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you blow on our hearts. God, that you ignite a fire inside of us, Lord. You know, the word says that God lit the fire on the altar, but it was up to the priest to keep it burning.
That's right.
There's a requirement, though. There's a response that is required of us in our life. There is a faith. There is a belief that is required. A desire to know him more. A desire to behold him. A desire to encounter him. Come on, church. Do you want to encounter God?
Yes.
Don't you get tired of just living life in the mundane and in mediocrity? Don't you ever long for God? Don't you ever long for his power to move in your life? Don't
yes.
you ever long for the very thing that the word says you
yes.
can have?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but the Spirit of God is hovering over this house, and he's desiring his people to come in to his presence. He's desiring his people to respond to him, to respond to his word, to respond to his voice. The word says that faith without works is dead. May it never be said of us that we're dead. Come on. May it never be said of us that we're dead. Times of difficulty pull us into grabbing a hold of what your word says. Foundations are built in difficulty and pain. In my opinion, they are built no other way. There's a price to pay to have the word of God established in your life. There's a price to pay. Once you encounter the Spirit of God, and once you encounter his love, you can't turn back. You can't turn back once you've beheld him, once you have embraced him. You can't turn back. Lord, we thank you for igniting passions in this place. We thank you, God, for calling us in. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Are we willing to press in for them? God, we just invite your presence to a greater measure in this place, God. The word says to stir up the gifts that are within you. Stir up the things inside of you. Oftentimes that requires us to speak. It requires us to speak the truth, because our words are spirit and they are life. And when they are spoken into the atmosphere, it changes things. It creates something that the presence of God can inhabit by the very words that you speak. God is attracted to what's being spoken. He's attracted to his own truth. We know that He already knows it. Come on, He already knows it. He is truth. But there's something when we speak His truth that attracts His presence and His power to move. That's why we will never stop believing. We will never stop praying. We will never stop pressing in. God, we want to pray specifically this morning for little Elijah. He's been diagnosed with Perlman's disease. I never heard of it. But it's attacking his kidneys. He has half a kidney left. He's 3 years old. God, we know that You are greater than any disease. In fact, Your word says that You heal all of our diseases, that You deliver us out of all of our troubles. So God, right now, we lift up little Elijah, God, and his parents, the Fulmers. And God, we ask that You just breathe a fresh wind of faith into them. And they already are believing. They have been taught well. They are postured for a miracle. But God, we lift up our voice today in prayer. And we thank You, God, for healing little Elijah. We thank You, God, for, God, we pray into being that which is not, God. And we ask, God, for a creative miracle, God, to be released through faith and prayer this morning, God, that two brand new kidneys would form inside that little boy. And we ask, Lord God, right now, that You dissolve by the power of Your Spirit every tumor that's in his body. That's right now, the report is, that's killing him. But God, You are the author and perfecter of our faith. You are the one that breathes life into the dead. You are the one that calls those that are dead back to life. Jesus, these are miracles that You did when You walked the earth. And God, we are called to do the same. So God, we believe right now that two brand new kidneys are being formed in his little body. And every tumor is being dissolved in the mighty name of Jesus. Faith doesn't deny the facts. It defies the outcome. Lord, we praise You, God. We thank You, Jesus. If you need a healing in this house, I want you to raise your hand. This is a time to practice what we just said we would do. If you need a healing, get your hand up. And we're going to keep doing this, because when we practice this in our house, this prepares you to go out and do the same. So as you look around, I give you permission to open your eyes while we're praying. If you see a hand up, I want you to go around that person. If you feel uncomfortable, get over yourself. Come on, this is family. You know, it's not about having the right words. Last time I checked, when the men lowered the man through the roof, all they did was lower the man through the roof. It didn't say that they had this glorious prayer and all the words were perfect and they spit out scripture like a machine. That's not what it's about. It's about coming to God with your concerns. It's about coming to God in faith, believing that He's going to do what He says He does. God, I thank You for meeting every need in this house, God. And I thank You, Lord, as this body, as this family gathers around others, God, to pray. Lord, I'm asking, God, that You heal that which is broken. And I'm speaking to even our souls, God. Things that are deep down in our soul that we don't even know is there. I'm praying, God, for healing in our souls. I'm praying for healing, God, in the bloodstreams. God, that You would restore the perfection to the blood in people's bodies. God, that You would restore backs that are broken, God. That You would restore just stuff that's going on in bodies that we don't know why it's going on. Just pray, God, that Your presence permeate this atmosphere, God, as we raise faith in the room, declaring who You are and declaring that You are a God of power. God, we thank You, Lord. We curse the root of disease in this house. In Jesus' name. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. God, I pray for strength. For some have been standing against illness for a long time. I just pray, God, that their roots grow deep into the truth of who you are for them. God, that you just give them a fresh wind this morning to continue to stand and believe for healing. That you would drive us on our knees, God, to cry out for you, to become manifest in our life, in the fullness of who you are. Just thank you, God. We praise your mighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just give somebody a hug this morning. If you already hug them again. Just encourage them. Tell them you're glad they're here. Tell them to keep believing. He's the God who raised the dead. Don't tell me that he's finished yet. It's actually a song that has those words in it. It's just an amazing song. It says, oh, my soul, remember who you're talking to. Let us remember that we don't go to God begging for him to move in our life. We don't come as beggars. We come as sons. Amen. Sons and daughters. God's put something on my heart for many years. And I have a passion in my heart for the body of Christ at large, not just this house, but the body of Christ to rise up in passion. To rise up and fulfill the destinies and callings on their life. For the people of God to be who they're called to be. And to not settle. To not settle in the mundane and the mediocrity of just going to church every Sunday and going home. It is a passion in my heart that the body of Christ go into every arena of society and lead it. You say that with me? Lead it. I am called to lead. I want you to say that. I'm called to lead. Okay, say it like you mean it. I'm called to lead. And if you think any other way, hopefully by the time you leave here today, you'll think the right way. You know, I think that we spend an awful lot of time sizing up and analyzing what we're not and what other people are not. I'm guilty of it too. That's why it's hard to get up here sometimes, because I'm speaking to myself. But we spend an awful lot of time not pulling out the gold and the destiny that are in people's lives. And we end up sizing them up and categorizing them into places of failure because of the way they act or choices that they've made. Come on, have you done that? And if we reflect on the life of Jesus and if we remember the things that he had done, he always pulled out the gold in the situation. He always believed. He always believed in people. But the only ones, I have to say, the only ones that didn't go so well was the religious people. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisees that he would, I think it was John the Baptist that called him a brood of vipers. But religion has no life. And the word says that the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. And as the people of God, we need to transition out of an old wineskin of deadness and into a new wineskin of life, into a life of power, into a life of freedom, into a life that people are attracted to us. That they're attracted because Jesus just walked around. He didn't have a church. He didn't have a platform. He walked around in society. He walked around through the cities and he was healing people. He was delivering people. That's what we're called to do. Our goal in life is not to become a pastor or a position unless God has called you to that. Our goal is to invade society with the kingdom of God. And everywhere we go, that we have the presence of God, that we give away what we carry, that we bring people into an encounter face to face with God. It's everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, the mindset, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? And we become recklessly abandoned to God. And everywhere we go, we're listening and we're looking for opportunity to release who God is. Come on. And I want to encourage you this morning that this is something that you can take a hold of. And if you're sitting there thinking, I'm not worthy, I can't do it, have another thought. Because God has called you to be His son and daughter. He has called you to live just like Him. And I remember my husband said that we're to be little Christs. We are His offspring. We are called to a place of power. We are called to be the solution in the workplace. We have ideas and things that God has put inside of us that He will use wherever we go. But we have to step out. We have to make a choice. And first, it starts with belief. Do you really believe that God's going to do that in your life? Do you really believe it? One person. Praise God. I remember Chuck Swindoll said that when the truth is declared, it should ignite a fire within us. Anytime that we're talking about the Word, when we're worshiping God, it should stir something up inside of us. And if it's not, the anecdote for that is to get in His presence. At some point in our life, we have to decide that I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of going around this mountain all the time of the same thing. And I know I'm hitting home with some. I'm hitting home with myself. At some point, there's some kind of indignation that comes in you, that a longing rises up out of your heart. In the book of Proverbs, it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is the tree of life. Desire is a longing fulfilled. It's something within us that we so desire to lay a hold of, that we so desire to obtain it. And it, at any cost, we'll pursue it. That should be our life in Christ. Amen? There is no compromise. We are to be a bride without spot or wrinkle. Come on. We are to stop compromising our life and settling for something that God never wanted us to embrace or wanted us to live. And this is where the journey begins to divine destiny. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart. Journey to divine destiny. And a subtitle of Awakening of a Heart. We simply need to ask God, Lord, search my heart and know me, and remove the wicked way in me. To stop settling. And it begins with the desire, because how many of you know that we need the Holy Ghost to get where we're going? If you're living life without Him, you're just living life. I was talking with someone in the last couple of weeks, and we were kind of feeling the same thing, that a shift has taken place. And I don't know if you can feel it. Doesn't matter if you can feel it. I'm telling you that a shift has taken place, and God is wanting us to get out of the boat. And we've run around the mountain too long, myself included. We've run around the mountain too long, and really we're hiding under the facade or behind the wall of unbelief, because we really don't believe that God is who He says He is, or our lives would look differently. I want you to ask yourself the question, if you had 10 times more boldness, What would I do? What would you do? If I had 10 times more boldness, what would I do? And if you have an answer for that, you're settling. Because courage is on the other side of yes. God meets us with His power and meets us with the truth of His word. He meets us with that courage when we take a step out. When I have you take a step out prophetically, that is some kind of movement. That is some kind of action that we take. It may seem stupid, but it isn't. Because sometimes that's the only step we can take because we don't know how to take the step we need to take. Does that make any sense? The Bible is full of prophetic acts. But it's something we need to do, and oftentimes it will feel like you're completely going against the grain. When you're stepping into what you're called to do, it's probably not going to be what you want to do or you feel like doing. Is there anybody alive in here? When God asked you to do something, how fun was that? Not very. It is. That's right. It's very uncomfortable. That's why God sent the Comforter, because we would be very uncomfortable. But those are the times that God builds a foundation in us, that's the only way that it can be obtained. That's the only way. I am sorry to fill everyone in on that. But if you don't step out, it's not going to happen. I remember last semester, that was like the worst semester Sarah ever had as far as just really pushing into something that she wasn't sure if she could lay a hold of. But we were able to remind her that even the words of Pastor Cappuccio said that she would be one of the finest in her field, that she would bring change, that, you know, and there are things that we remember. That's what prophetic words are for. We pray into them. We use them as a weapon against the enemy. When things are spoken over our life, when destiny is spoken, we grab a hold of that and we declare it over our lives until it becomes manifest. And she pressed in and she began to believe that. And she said, Mom, I don't know. Is it all right if I share this? I didn't even ask. Get myself in trouble sometimes. But, you know, people's stories are awesome. It's our testimony. You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And when you share what God's done in your life, people grab a hold of that. People can sense the power in your life because you've overcome it. The power comes when you overcome something. And it releases the anointing. It releases the presence into others around you. That's why we need to press in. We need to press in for these victories because God builds on them and He expands them and He establishes the foundation in our life. That's what becoming powerful looks like. It's terrible. It's not fun at all. It's terrible. But sometimes you just got to make up your mind. I'm going to do it if it kills me. Pastor Cappuccio said about the three lepers that they were definitely going to die where they were at, and they'd rather die moving forward. That's where you need to get. That's part of the main message today, is that you need to get to that point where you're tired of settling. God never meant us to live a life of mediocrity and failure. He designed us to be victorious. He designed us to overcome the world because He overcame the world. Sarah began to doubt, oh, Mom, I don't know if I want to be a PA. You know, maybe I should think of another major, another. I said, oh, no, you don't. Moms and dads, you don't know how valuable your encouragement is. You don't know how valuable it is when you see something inside of your kid that they can't see. And you call it out. Come on, that's what God does. That's what Jesus did. He saw something inside of people that they carried and that they had. And He called it out and He breathed it over them prophetically and He continued to say it. As the body of Christ, we need to make a shift. We need to make a shift in our thinking. Stop judging. And there's a lot to judge today. Come on, there's a lot of things that we can say. But Sarah pressed in and she finished the semester. She did very well. And now she's doing even better because she's overcome something. How many of you know that when God wants to do something, the enemy's always right there to steal it? I don't know how he knows. I don't know how he knows, but when God's about ready to birth something through you, the enemy just wants to come and kill it. He wants to destroy the seed. He wants to destroy the greatness of God's people because, let me give you a revelation. He hates you. The enemy hates you. You are made in the image of God. And he will spend this whole entire, the duration of your life, he will spend that whole time telling you who you're not. We have the solutions. We are the answers. We are the answer. Some of the things that I just want you to have in your mind as I continue through these passages is obedience, allowing God to teach us, stepping out in faith, and discovering what you were born for. Discovering what you were born for is not always what you do on the earth as far as success. It's listening to what God says to you and then doing it. And then what comes out of that? I'm going to be reading in Exodus chapter 2. The story picks up right after the king had died, Pharaoh had died, and it was the one that had favor on Joseph. And if you remember that the Hebrews ended up taking residence in Egypt because of the famine. And there were 75 of them that moved into Egypt so that they could get food. And then that Pharaoh had died, and then the next Pharaoh took his place in Egypt. And the Hebrews had multiplied greatly in the land. And this particular Pharaoh had it in his heart. And I believe, in my opinion, that the enemy put it in his heart to kill all of the Hebrew babies, the males. Like I was saying, that when God is about ready to do something, the enemy is right there to steal it. This is when we get our game on. This is when we step into the arena. This is when it's your time to shine. This is when it's your time for God to establish in you the foundation to carry out what he's going to give you to do. When we're faithful in the little, he will give us more. Amen? But we have to start. We have to start. We have to get out of the boat. Exodus 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. And so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. The Bible doesn't give the name of Moses' mother at that point. But Jochebed is one of the ones that is most overlooked in the Bible, in my opinion. But Jochebed ended up being a preserver of a nation. She ended up becoming a woman who took the seed that God had planted in her and put it in motion. She protected it. And by faith, she took action. By faith, she made an ark of bulrushes and put him in the river. I thought it was interesting that the Bible uses the word ark. It's the same word that when God had Noah build an ark and he spared his people, and the ark of the testimony, the ark of the covenant. There is a Hebrew word for boat, but it wasn't used. Ark was used. And Jochebed took Moses and put him in the presence, if you will. She put him in the river. She put him in the flow of God that awakened a destiny that would come down the road that would end up delivering a nation of people by one act of faith. There was something that came into her heart when Moses was born that she saw, and it actually means she saw that the child was good. That God had awakened something in Jochebed's heart for her to take action on. And it was even spoken of by Joseph because he gave instructions to carry his bones into the place that God had promised to take them, into a land flowing with milk and honey, into the promised land, a place where they would dwell. So the Hebrews knew and they expected a deliverer, but one woman acted in faith. And the Word of God says that she did not fear the decree of the king. Come on. Pharaoh, it was one of the highest authorities in the land. Egypt was a huge nation, very powerful nation. And one Hebrew slave stood up and said, I will not fear the decree of the king. And it ultimately says his parents did not fear the decree of the king. I thought it was interesting that when Jochebed put Moses in the water, that Miriam ran alongside to see what would become of her brother. Because Miriam saw the faith of her mother, that it pulled Miriam into a divine destiny. You don't know what your acts of faith and how, you don't know how they affect other people. You don't know how the things that you do and the things that you decide can in fact spur somebody on to want to be like you. And it's a question I pose, do we live in such a way that others want to become like us? Or do we fit into the world so well in the ways of the world that they don't even notice that there's something about us? They don't even notice the presence of God. Could be the way we talk. Could be the way we interact with people at work. The things we say. The things we watch on TV. I hate to drop that in your lap. But it's the reality. What are we filling our heads with? What kind of friends do we keep? It doesn't mean we don't love them. But those of you that took Keep Your Love On understand that. There's an inner core that we protect and that we cultivate. And it costs you something to be in it. It costs you something to be friends with people that are trusting, people that follow after God. Because if the way that we act and even the way that we speak to our husband, I'm as guilty as anybody else. But how do we treat our spouses? How do we treat one another? People are watching. Do we have something? And the answer is yes. But are we willing to press in to change the behavior that we've agreed with? The only reason you have that behavior is because you've agreed with it. And what you agree with, you give power to. It's time for us to start agreeing with God and let His power be made manifest. Amen? Agree with what He says. Our destiny is so intertwined with the people around us that if we don't fulfill it, we can let others down. Jochebed's decision to put Moses in the water, in fact, set in motion the destiny of not only Moses, but Miriam and Aaron, the other brother. I just want that to sink into us, that do we really want to press into the things of God? Is it important to you? Is it important to you to live a life in the Spirit? Do we live in such a way that others want to become like us? And ultimately, Miriam ended up walking alongside of her brother when they led the Hebrews out of Egypt. And she walked with them in the wilderness. She was a prophet. And Aaron as well. But what we do and the decisions that we make, the things that I do and the faith that I have will impact my kid for better or for worse. And how she sees me interact and the things that I do will directly impact her. Am I leaving her something to pick up and carry on? It's a difficult question, I know. I don't want you to feel heavy. I want you to feel like it's something that you can grab a hold of, because you can. But it is up to you. As I said earlier, God lights the fire on the altar, but it's up to the priest to keep it lit. It's up to you to cultivate. It's up to you to seek after God, to have that longing fulfilled. Don't underestimate what God will do through your acts of faith. I'm going back and forth because these accounts, the account that I'm talking about is also spoken of in Acts chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 11. Stephen gives an account of it. And then the writer of Hebrews, which we don't really know who that was for sure, also gives an account of the faith of the patriarchs. That by faith they did this, by faith they did that. Acts chapter 7, 17 through 22. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dwelt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born. I just got to stop there for a minute. Some of you got to know. Some of you need to know that there is a specific plan and purpose that you were born for. God already set in motion a deliverer. When Adam and Eve sinned, God set into motion the coming of Christ a couple thousand years later. You have to know that every issue that you face, every problem that you face, every wall or mountain of impossibility, God already has it in motion. How He's going to handle it in your life. We need to believe who we are. We need to step in. Going into the trials and tribulations, embracing the truth of God until it's so solid in us that we're unshakable. But how many of you know that requires a shaking? Foundations are formed in the fire. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the ways, all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. I'm going to go on to verse 23 through 29, I think. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart. Only Stephen records how old Moses was, as far as I know. How old Moses was when it came into his heart. This is the same faith that Jochebed imparted to her son. She had him for 4 or 5 years. We know that she nursed him for about that long. We know that Pharaoh's daughter had called for one of the Hebrews to nurse the child, and he ended up becoming the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But she had 5 years to put something into his life. She had 5 years to teach him about Yahweh. She had 5 years to teach him about the faith of the patriarchs. She had 5 years to let him know that there was a call on his life. They were expecting a redeemer, and Jochebed thought that he was it. It was in her heart. There would be no reason to spare him and give him over to an evil empire. And when it came into his heart to visit his brethren, how many of you know that when God says it's time, God will speak to us. God will draw us in. There are many, many ways that God will do that, through a message or through another person, or really through a burning desire to do something. And it's not always the way, you know, it's not always, it says, when the time of the promise drew near. Sometimes we go through natural progress or processes in our life where it seems like God isn't doing anything. It's really important what we do with that time and how we live our life and what we choose to do. It may seem like times where God isn't speaking and God isn't doing anything, but that season in your life is just as important as when you're on the mountaintop and you're walking by faith and he's given you a promise to lay a hold of and it's about to happen. Don't ever think that what's going on in your life is for nothing. And don't ever think that what's happened to you in your past was for nothing and it's just a chapter that I'd rather just not go there because it wasn't really what I had planned. Well, can I tell you? Moses didn't plan on being abandoned by his mother. Moses didn't plan on growing up in an evil empire, learning about all the idols and all the things. And Egypt was evil. It was an evil nation. They had many gods. And we know how God dealt with each one. It's interesting that God didn't deal with it with an army. He dealt with it with a word. He sent his word. And the plagues came. It's just a thought. And it goes on to say in verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, this is Moses, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. This is where the process of our journey of awakening our heart. There's something inside of us that we know that we want to do, that we want to accomplish. For Moses, in my opinion, it was justice. It said that it came into his heart to go out and to visit his brethren. There was something inside of him that he was looking at what was going on in Egypt and he wanted to change it. He wanted to bring justice. He's a prophet. That's what prophets bring. Prophets want to reconcile people back to God. They want to fix things. I am a fixer. I don't apologize for it. But I allow God to try to soften me. My mom so often reminds me, can't you just give us a nice message? To me, this is fun. This is what it's all about. It's not fun going through the process, but when you go through these processes of faith, when you face the absolute impossible by faith, whether you get your answer or not the way you thought, something is established in you. I know that we believe that Shirley would be healed. And I know that her family believed and they set their face to see that happen. Something has been deposited in you for what you believed. And there's an impartation of something that she pressed in for now that's coming down upon you. She's passed the baton for you to pick up. There's something about pressing in by faith to obtain what's in your heart. The word says that the things revealed, the hidden things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to you and your children and your children's children. So the revelation and the things that you receive, the things that I receive belong to her. And they belong to her grandchildren and their grandchildren. It doesn't end. It's not about my life and then it's over and things end. It says that Moses encountered the Egyptian beating one of his brethren. And then he encountered two of his brethren fighting. And he said he wanted to know who did the wrong. And the response was in verse 27, Acts chapter 7, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" Sounds to me like there's a little bit of jealousy going on there. "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" For Moses thought that they would have understood that God was about to deliver them by his hand, but he can't see it. They can't see it. "Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. This is part of Moses' process. Something came into his heart, and the desire for justice, the desire to bring change in a culture, the desire to deliver his brethren from bondage. He wasn't versed in it, although it says that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. To kill the Egyptians, he probably learned that from them, because that's what they did. They were evil. They were tyrants. They were powerful. It wasn't about living in the ways of God. But God had to set Moses aside for a time and a process where he would teach him how to walk out the very call that he gave him. And he fled to Midian. He fled in fear. As it says, it goes on to say that when Pharaoh found out what had happened, he sought to kill him. Moses' process doesn't look so great up to this point, but there's something in his heart that's forming. There's something in his heart that said when it came into his heart. I want to encourage you. I don't know what God's put in your heart. I don't know what he said to you. But I just think you need to know that your process doesn't have to be perfect. Moses fled to Midian and he just made a big mess. Somehow he knows that there's a call on his life. He spends 40 more years in Midian. He ends up marrying. But I believe in my heart that Moses never forgot what came into his heart. That the desire for change never left him. The desire to do something great never left him. There's something about knowing God and walking with God that desires us to become great. We know that the disciples argued over who would sit at his right hand, who would be the best, who would be first. That's not always a bad thing. You don't have to be afraid that the greatness of Christ, the greatness of God our Father, the greatness of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. There is something great about that. And when it's coupled with humility, man, what God can do through his people is amazing. I feel like you need to know that God's not afraid of your process. God's not afraid of how ugly it is or how much you've messed up. God's not afraid of what's happened to you in your life. God can take care of all of that. He can take care of all of that. What's happened to you is not your limitation. It's your springboard. Let me say that again. What's happened to you is not your limitation. It's your springboard. It's not what we've done. It's what are we going to do with what we've done. And that requires humility. It requires us to admit the pride that prevents us from moving toward God and allowing Him to establish Himself in us. And what happens to our passion when we're in seasons where it seems like God isn't moving? Do we remain faithful in times when it seems like God is silent? That we've cried out and we've cried out and we've cried out and God hasn't said anything. I got to tell you, that's one of the most fun tests there is. but we're still required to pass it. What do you do when God isn't speaking? God speaks even when he doesn't speak. We are being tested. I'm going to steal this from you. I can do it to him. There is no testimony without a test. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There is no testimony without a test. There is no establishment of the kingdom of God in us until we've gone through a test and came out victorious on the other side. You can't go in half-hearted. I remember in the Word it's written that, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of belief. I know you're thinking, what? Faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of belief. It requires action, it requires posture to move in and press into what God has. It's almost like an opposing wind. That when you're trying to move forward in the destiny, and this is what Moses was doing, he didn't know what else to do. Now I want to go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. You don't have to go there if you just want to make a note or to look at it later. Exodus 2, 23 says this, Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt had died and the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage and they cried out and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. So God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. How many of you know that sometimes there's just a process of time? There's just a process of time that goes by and there are seasons in our life that we need to read the word, we need to pray, we need to press in, we need to come alongside of others until God decides to breathe at a moment in our journey of our destiny when it's time for us to rise up and posture in faith for what he's about to do in us. But the important thing is that how are we postured in those times? Are we looking for God to move? Do we continue to expect or do we grow complacent? Does our passion go out? That's why it's important, the friends you keep, the people that you hang around with. Where do I spend my time? Because what's coming into your head, is it encouraging you and is it catapulting you into the things of God? Or is it completely distracting you? Is it completely filling your time with mindless things? I'll tell you, the busyness of this nation right now is robbing the people of God of their destiny. It is robbing them because we are so busy. And I got news for you. In the end, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. Well, I had to do this, 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 and this. Yes, but were the things of the kingdom a priority in your life? We bring things, we bring our jobs, we bring our lives, everything that we do, we bring it into the kingdom. If it's not in the kingdom, we shouldn't be doing it. If it's not in the kingdom, we shouldn't be doing it. People are watching. And it's not a performance. Because what this boils down to is a longing for his righteousness. It's a longing for the things of God. It's what we were born for. We were born to live a supernatural life. It's God's super on our natural. Happens all the time. If you're looking for it, if you're postured for it, if you're pressing in for it. Now it happened in the process of time. And guess what? God decides after 40 more years, it's time to call Moses out. In Exodus 3, It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, and so he looked. And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will turn aside to see this great sight and why the bush does not burn.'" This is one of the most important things I believe in walking in the Spirit, is when we see God prompting us, when God brings a scripture alive to us, that we act on it, that we move on it, that God is prompting us. Will we turn aside to look? Will we pay attention? Or are we too busy? Are we too busy to stop and pray for that person? Are we too busy to make a phone call? Are we too busy to send a card? These things are not difficult. This is being the body of Christ. If we're faithful in the little, God will give us more. If you want to walk in the supernatural, we need to start by being faithful with what God has given us. What am I doing with where God has placed me? Am I 100% devoted to what God has me doing right now? Then Moses said, "I will turn aside to see." That actually means that his complete focus became God. He was face to face with God. There was something that he saw that was beyond the natural, and God was getting ready to do something major in his life. In verse 4 it says, "So when the Lord saw that he had turned," that's really important. So the Lord saw when he had turned. How many of you know that God is looking for you to turn? He's looking for you to fix your gaze on him. And it was in that place that he called Moses out. It was in the time when Moses decided that God was the most important thing in his life, and he became face to face with God, that God called him out. We go from encounter to encounter, from glory to glory, from destiny to destiny. And when we respond to what God has right in front of us, he gives us more after that. But if we're too busy and we keep turning away and not paying attention to the promptings in his life, we remain dormant. There is no outflow. There is no inflow and no outflow. And it has to do with our response. God is always wanting to move in your life. Always. And if you believe that he's not, that's a lie you believe, and you need to repent. Really, things are that simple. We give power to what we agree with. And if you don't think God is going to do it, then unbelief gets what it expects. Nothing. "I will turn aside to see this great sight and why the bush does not burn. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look." Stop waiting for a movement. You are the movement. The world is waiting for you. Moses continually stepped into an encounter. And some of you know the great things that Moses did after this. He continually stepped into an encounter with God that changed everything. We were designed to be face to face with God. We have been designed to be in his presence. We are designed to encounter him. We are designed to be in fellowship with him. The greatest limitation of the flow of God in our life is between our ears. The belief that God can't do it. Fear overtakes us. These are all things that Moses had to overcome before he went back and confronted Pharaoh. Stop thinking that what's happened to you in your past is limiting your future. There's a condition, and Moses had a desire to change it. It's important that we don't skip our process. If you're taking notes, you want to highlight that. Don't skip your process. I believe specifically for your generation that I've heard it said, and I know that Sarah was, they talked about this in school, your generation, of this entitlement, that the kids are coming out of school, out of college, and there's a spirit of entitlement, and that they often want to start at the top. In my estimation, this is a move of the enemy, because your generation is called to occupy high seats in society. Your generation is called to be the rulers of the world, to take dominion. Your generation is called to be the world changers. Your generation is called to be the governors, the senators, the presidents, the mayors, the leaders of school districts. And if the enemy can get you to skip your process, skip your process of being trained and mentored by men and women that have actually walked it out, men and women that have actually paid the price to get where they're at, men and women that have gone through great tribulation in their life, that they have something to impart to you, if the enemy can get you to skip that, there will be a void in your life when you're at the top, because you have no idea about the people that are under you and what it's like to be there, what it's like to pay a price to get where you're at, because it builds a foundation in your life that can't be shaken. So when you get to the top, the enemy will just knock you off. Don't skip your process. Don't skip your process. Come on, church, don't skip your process. We have to engage in order to obtain. This is one of the greatest generations right here that's rising up. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Even the devil tried to get Jesus to take a shortcut. Right after he was baptized, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And then the devil says, "Here, I'll give you the world." But Jesus refuted him with the word of God. It's important, young people, that you get into the word of God and you know it. And ask God to put a fire in your heart. Change lies within your heart and your heart. Gosh, church is not boring. Walking with God is one of the most exciting things there is. He's my Father. He is awesome. He loves me. He has great things for me to do. And we'll do great exploits through Him, the Word of God says. And that He loves me no matter what I do. Come on. Have we become familiar, all too familiar, with a God we hardly know? Pay the price to know Him. Pay the price. We take scriptures and declare them for ourselves, but we've paid no price to develop in our personal history that allowed God to establish it. Has Christianity become a ritual for us, or has it become our reality? This is a precursor to walking a holy life. Do you desire it? Do you have a longing? I know that this house does. I know that you have a longing to press into the deep things of God, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't sit here for 2 hours. You're not after the vain things. You're not after a quick fix. You're not after programs. I'm going to close with this. Moses had to make a choice as to what came into his heart. He had to make a choice to not fear the wrath of Pharaoh. He had to make a choice to depart from Egypt. He had to make a choice to let go of what was familiar to him. He had to make a choice to move forward as he encountered God at the burning bush. The guy had to be full of fear, full of abandonment. You talk about abandonment issues. His mom got rid of him when he was 5, but it wasn't her choice, but it was still a reality. A lot of things in our life haven't come by choice, but what will we do with it? And realizing the greatness of God on our life. You are not stuck there. He had to make a choice to leave Midian and confront Pharaoh. He had to make a choice to move past failure and embrace his journey. Bill Johnson writes, My responsibility is to obey, to surrender my heart and to yield myself to the will of God. It is in the process of obedience that we gain understanding. You can't get the peace that surpasses understanding until you give up your right to understand. I thought that was so good. How many times have we been limited because, oh, I don't understand God. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why these certain events in my life had to happen, or why I had to go through all this stuff, or why. It employs a victim spirit in our life and it keeps us trapped right where we're at. And as things are hitting your heart and things are speaking to you, throw off those things that hinder you. Repent of believing that you're a victim, because you're not a victim. You're a victor. You are victorious. You are not bound by those things. Will you abandon to what you hold on to and release it to Him? Will you confront the painful areas in your life and let God heal you? It is no excuse to stay where we're at as to what's happened to us. It's when we decide to confront those things that now the channel is open. If we remember the natural flow of the Jordan River, it flows into the Sea of Galilee. It's full of fish, it's full of life, and there's an outflow, and it ends up going into the plains of the Dead Sea, and everything is dead because there's no outflow. If there's no outflow in your life, it will remain dead, it will remain dormant. God will not call you to a place He won't take you. I want to call the worship team. And I'm just going to close. You know, if God has spoken to your heart today, and you just want to receive the fresh wind of God in your life to confront those things that you've been hiding from, His Spirit is here to meet you in that place. His Spirit is here to take you through divine healing, to give you courage, to give you strength. Don't wait. Get started. I've run around the mountain with a lot of things for several years and really wanting in my heart to do certain things and was afraid to do them. But sometimes you just got to do it. You just got to do it. And don't worry about it looking ugly. Don't worry about it looking messy. That's why it's important for us to learn to love one another. Are we willing to love one another through their messes? Moses had a great call on his life. And he had messes to work through, but it's okay. God loved him anyway. David made a big mess. God loved him anyway. He was a man after God's own heart. As we sing this last song, I just want you to consider, what is God calling you to move out into? What is He calling you to deal with? Where is He calling you to go? This is a good thing. But I know that when I've confronted things in my own life that I just didn't want to go there, it almost felt murderous in my heart. My heart trembled and shook. And some things in my life that I had pushed under the rug. And I did some bad things. I know it's hard to believe. But I did. Lots of them. And I felt like I was going to die, literally. It was like a spiritual death. I cannot describe it. And anybody that's walked with the Holy Spirit when He's asked for something, if you've ever felt that dying of self, you'll know exactly what I mean. When He's asking you to deal with something and His finger is upon you, and you'll know it because you're uncomfortable and you really don't want to do it. It feels like you're dying, and I'm here to tell you that it's probably because you are. You're dying to self. And the things of the Spirit must be first in our life. Amen, church? So I just want to challenge you. What's God asking you to die to? What's He asking you to deal with? And if nothing else, then maybe it's just something that you can take out of here and talk to somebody else about. This is never just about us. It's getting taught and hear testimony and learn so that we can go out and share it with somebody else and set them free. Which was the whole basis of Moses' call to bring them out of Egypt. And God's heart was there before Moses was. So God caused Moses to be born for such a time as this. To be raised up in his ugly process and the dumb things that he decided to do. So I just encourage you to come forward. If God's speaking to your heart, it's not always getting this answer that, okay, now I know what to do. Sometimes it's just yielding. Actually, most of the time it's just yielding. He didn't know how he was going to deliver the Hebrews from Egypt. He didn't know. I suppose that he would have thought that God would have raised up some of the outlying enemies of Egypt and they would come together with the Hebrews and then they would fight against Egypt. Because that's what Pharaoh was most afraid of. The Hebrews were too numerous, and should they ally with our enemy, they can overtake us. So we started killing them. So that's the thought. That was the natural thought. It was the natural thought when Jesus came. That they thought Jesus would become an earthly king. No, this is spiritual. This is a spiritual battle. And God will show you exactly what to do, but it requires yielding. It doesn't require going to church, although we need to go to church. The Bible says that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself. But this is what it's all about. This is where the rubber meets the road. Are we willing to lay down the behaviors that we've settled into that need to change? I know there's a vast thing here I'm covering, but every one of us have something. So I encourage you, if God is speaking to your heart, to just come up and receive what He has. Now, what's to happen to you is up to the Holy Spirit. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to counsel. It's not up to me to make it right. It's up to you. It's up to you to move and to receive, just like Moses did when he turned aside to see. God called him out. I'm here to tell you, when you meet God face to face here this morning, God's going to see that you have turned and that you have put your focus on Him, and He's going to meet you. I promise you that. But it's do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want to move forward?
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. In the valley, I know that you're with me. And surely, your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how.
Walk that you're on. And I pray right now, God, for a boldness. God, for those that have stepped out and desired it, you're already imparting it. You're already giving them what they need. God, I thank you that you patiently wait for us, Lord. Just raise your hands unto the Lord this morning. And God, I pray right now that you just impart a holy fire in our hearts. That that you impart desire. Desire, God, to have the longing fulfilled. That everyone in this house would know that they are called to greatness. That they are called to be a son and a daughter of God. That they are called to inherit the desolate things, the things that have been laid down. And God, right now, I pray that you breathe on our hearts, that we come alive as you awakened the heart of Moses. And I pray, God, and I break off fear. I break off fear of messing it up. I break off the bondage of the past that keeps us trapped in the Dead Sea. I pray for open hearts. I pray that every heart is opened in this place to receive what God has, what you have right now for us, God. Thank you, God, that we're getting out of the boat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for just coming in with your love in our hearts where we're afraid, because love casts out all fear. God, I pray that we would know we were made for encounter. We are made to encounter you face to face. And Lord, I pray for those God encounters. I pray for those times of intimacy where love just permeates our very being. And that we would know that nothing is impossible to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for challenging us, God. Thank you for sending the Comforter. Thank you, Lord, for raising up this house to be world changers.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.